Smart Troopers, get your DC-15 blasters and slap on your buckets. It's time for custom action figure news with Lucas Clones and Tamer. Now blast those clankers! Go, go, go!
Go on, give it everything you got! Make every shot count!
This is gonna be a tough one, I doubt we'll make it through!
All right, folks. Well, welcome once again to another episode of Custom Action Figure News. This is going to be episode 9, I believe. And
all right.
Yeah, we're getting up there in numbers. Next time we'll be at the double digits. And tonight we have, as always, my wonderful co-host is with me, Tamer, a.k.a. Sean. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Hello, everybody.
And tonight we also have our special guest, and that is Ron Hembling, a.k.a. Hemble from Hemble Creations. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Very good, very good. All right, well, we're going to start off tonight with a quick announcement from me, actually. As you guys know, I always let Tamer have a few minutes to do some announcements, but I actually have an announcement. And this announcement is about it's called the Great Star Wars Customizing Challenge, and it's by Echo Base News, who we've come up with to this contest. And it's being, the guy who's running it is Mike from Mercury Art Studios. We're actually going to be interviewing him, and I think, correct, Tamer?
Yep.
All right. So
we're going to see June 30th.
Yep. And we're going to have Mike on, and of course we'll talk about the custom contest a little bit then, because I believe the contest, does it officially start on June 30th? Let me see here. Contest launch is May 29th, and the end is July 31st, so it'll be about halfway through. And so I'm just going to go through the rules and details here, and that is Mike from Mercury Art Studios is going to be the judge, and what he's looking for in this contest is originality. He wants to see good paint applications. You're allowed to do sculpting if you want. I don't think sculpting would hurt at all if you do that. He likes to see combining lots of different parts and materials, artistic expression, however you interpret that, and that he wants to select for the contest. Five different winners. So here are the rules. The rules are customized projects must be for this contest alone. That means you can't create a custom and enter it into any other custom contests. Previous customs that you've made or you've done for other contests are not allowed. So if you want to show off a previous custom, you can do it in the customizing threads. You can do that on the customizing threads at Echo Base or Imperial Shipyards. If you submit an old version, you will be disqualified. So make sure it's all new just for this contest. You can't picture steal. They don't want any picture stealing. Obviously, if we're looking for originality and artistic expression, that's sort of the opposite of stealing someone else's picture of their custom and throwing it in the contest. And not to mention, that's pretty low down, I think. Winners outside of the United States have to pay shipping and handling costs for your prizes that you win. Customs that you bought from someone else are not allowed for obvious reasons. Customs have to be Star Wars on Star Wars. You can make original fan fiction creations, but you have to have a small background story. So if it's like, say, from X-Wing Alliance, Hangar Bay story, you can enter that, but you gotta have the background story. And I'm supposing that that's just because he wants to make sure that it's based on Star Wars somehow. All customs must be submitted by July 31st, 2011 at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. Boy, he's really particular with that. All submissions must be submitted at Echo Base News under this or in this contest thread. So you got to go there and find the contest thread and submit your custom there. How many customs are you allowed to enter? You are allowed to enter 3 customs. How many pictures are you allowed to have for each custom? That's also 3. And he also wants to make sure that everybody has fun, and feel free to contact him with any additional questions that you have. And his email for contact is Michael M, that's all lowercase, Michael M at echobaseforums.com. And I know that you can also find him on Facebook. He has a page, Mercury Art Studios. If you go on there and you like the page, I think. And prizes will be announced at Echobase News and on CAFN on June 30th, 2011. So probably, let's see, he had that end date was June 31st, so maybe he's gonna change that if we're going to announce prizes. I would imagine that he would change that. All right, and let's see. He doesn't have any info on here on announcing them late at a later date. Is that correct, Tamer?
Yes, I believe so.
All right, so I think that's going to do it. Lots of info there. And look for the rules. Or you can go to Imperial Shipyards and go to the Imperial Creative Engineering section and just look for the custom contests. And you'll see the topic is Echobase Forums announces a Star Wars contest. And that is actually where I'm reading all this information to you guys right now. So definitely you can just rewind this podcast after I post it. Or you can go on to Echobase and find the info. He's made it pretty easy to find, hasn't he?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so that's going to do it for my announcement. Tamer, your turn.
All right. Well, I think this is a good month to be a customizer because I want to talk about two customizing contests or running a customizing challenge or calling Rogue Jedi. And if you just hit their main page, www.yakface.com, you can hear more about that. And a Wookiee Lover 1138 contest. Probably by now, if you know YouTube at all, you've heard of Wookiee Lover 1138. She has created a show called The Kessel Run Review. And frankly, it sets the bar extremely high when it comes to any type of Star Wars video. She features customizers from across the web. She's just so great for this hobby. I think we can all agree on that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very simple, the rules. You just have to create a custom of Jen in the Star Wars verse and post it in the contest thread. And you can find that at the same place you, Chad, talked about with the other contest through Mercury Art Studios. Just go to the forums, which is a link off the main page, hit custom contests, and it's pretty much up there right at the top. I tell you, we're already seeing some outstanding entries. Action Figure Empire is just going crazy. He has some neat ones.
Yeah, Ghost he's done a few, hasn't he?
Added a neat one that I liked.
How many, Sean?
And, of course, it's just great fun. And I have one more announcement I found out about yesterday. A friend of the yards, Joe Rhino, is selling some stuff. And I normally would is donating 25% of his proceeds towards the Crohn's, which is just a great charity. And frankly, he has some awesome items, all kinds of Imperial troops, clone troopers, and he has great prices. So I wanted to make sure I remember to do a shout out for that. And we came here to talk Himble.
Yes. Definitely. Go ahead and take it into the interview. So, Ron, if you're ready, I know you've had to kind of sit there and be ready to start firing away on some questions for you.
That's all right, guys. Shoot, go ahead.
All right, do you want me to go ahead and start, Sean?
Hey, go for it.
All right. So me and Sean put together quite a large list, and hopefully we can get to all of it here. But the first one that I actually came up with was that most customizers on shipyards, but also on various other custom forum websites, have chosen to use usually 3 3/4 inch action figures for their customs. You, however, like to do both, and you've done many, many 12-inch figure customs. So can you explain to us what it is that made you choose to do so many 12-inch figure customs? And I have an addition to that question. Is it the ability to include more detail, the inclusion of more soft goods, or is it the sculpting of the larger figures?
Okay, with the 12-inch figures, I actually started off with the old G.I. Joe stuff, when we were kids, one of the beards and all. So I just started mucking around with them, and then I started getting into the detail side of things, with the uniforms, painting and all. And then, I think it's just more, you can get more detail into them, where the 3¾ stuff is, yes, you can still get detail, but you don't have to have as much. So yeah, the larger figures are great for that, but again, the smaller ones, yes, they're great, but the larger ones do take up a lot of room, that's the problem. Where the smaller ones, you can do on shelf, where I've just got now 8 figures, 9 figures of 12-inch on one shelf, and then tape, really.
All right. And for instance, I can imagine you can get some really cool, detail in the soft goods and all of that when you do your customs and swapping out clothes and all that, which you can't do with the 3¾-inch figure, since they're all, all of the clothes is mostly made out of plastic. You pretty much have to choose a base figure for what you want. But you have you have the figure has body and then it has clothes on top of that. So that play into the choice of inch cuts. Is that, does that go into your thinking when you go to put together one of those guys?
Oh yeah, for sure, mate. When you actually look at a 12-inch figure, and as you said with the cloth goods, it's a lot more detail in the cloth goods than there is on the 3¾. If you do the 3¾ cloth goods, it actually comes up a bit tacky because of the size of the cloth.
Mm-hmm.
So with the 12-inch figures, it works out a lot better.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was my question. So Tamer, go ahead. You got the next one.
Yeah, I actually have a follow up to your question. I mean, I happened to spend a few hours on Ron's site today, www.himblecreations.com. I just got lost. It was so great. But I noticed, Ron, do you normally make like a 3¾ base figure before you move up to the 12-inch scale?
No, not really, mate. All depends what it is. Like with the ADAT gunner, I did that in 3¾ because I didn't have the materials and the gear to make the 12-inch figure. So once I did the 3¼ one, I decided, hey, what's out there? And went from there. And as you see, of what I've done with the 12-inch one.
Yes, I must have that, Ron. We're going to talk about that, and that's definitely going to be another one of my questions. My first actual question, though, I'd like to hear one of our general questions that we like to. How did you get started in the customizing game, Ron?
Oh, God, I know you're going back to years now, mate. Show my age. I initially started out as a military, going to collect the Star Trek figures, and I'm a big Star Trek nerd. No. So looking at a 12-inch Khan concurrent, this woman did that in the UK, porcelain head and all. And I thought, oh, pretty cool, so I decided to make a Picard. So I had a friend that set up a uniform, and then got a from one of the old vinyl gears and painted it up. And that's how I started.
Boy, where have you gone today?
Mad.
Yeah. My kind of mad, Ron.
Cheers, mate.
That's definitely my kind of mad. All right, Chad, it's your turn.
All right. Very cool. So I had one more question about the 12-inch figures, and this is something that I am definitely curious about. And how do materials that you use in the 12-inch figures differ from those that you use in the smaller figures? I mean, obviously we talked about the soft goods, but I mean also when it comes to things like paint or you know, other accessories and stuff. And then also, you know, does it cost more to make 12-inch customs, or is it about the same? I mean, what would you say about the cost on that? Because I've never made a 12-inch custom before, and I know that the figures are more expensive, so I would just figure there would be a difference in costs as well.
As in per cost now, I'd say it'd be about the same, because the way the Australian dollar is at the moment, it's incredible. So I get a 12-inch uniform, so we'll say $10, $15, and that's with postage from overseas. And some, if you need pouches, that sort of thing. You can get some great 1/8 scale or 3/3/4 inch scale accessories, especially from World War II German figures, which I use a lot. So the detail there is again the same. With the painting, I use the same paints on my 12-inch figures as I do.
Oh, that's a little bit surprising, because I would have thought it would be a little bit more expensive. And do you prefer 3/3/4 or 12-inch, more or less?
Now you've got me on that one. I prefer both. Like, as you know, I'm doing all my Indiana Jones figures. I prefer them in 12-inch because there's more detail and I can get more figures out of it, where if I was doing it in 3/3/4, there'd be more sculpting involved, which I'm no good at. So, yeah, 12-inch figures, that side of it is brilliant. For the Star Wars side of stuff, it's the same, it's give and take. There's so much quality out there at the moment for 3/3/4 and 12-inch at the moment.
Oh. All right. Well, that's pretty interesting. Sean, it's your turn.
I have looked on your site, and I keep hearing the word dragon come up when I'm looking at your recipes for quite a few of your 12-inch customs. Ron, can you explain to our listeners a little bit? I'm taking, is that a particular website where you find some of your items?
Okay. Dragon is actually they started off as a plastic model company. They built tank, 1/3 scale tanks, planes, boats, all that sort of stuff. So actually, I believe they're in Hong Kong. I could be wrong. But yeah, they're actually a company that used to build plastic kits. Then they started in 12-inch figures, and so they kept the name Dragon. So if anyone just types in on Google Dragon Models, it'll take them straight to the website, and they've got sections there, the plastic kits, 12-inch stuff. So I used to use a lot of Dragon bodies for my 12-inch figures. Now I use TDVL version 3 figures, which is, they've got the actual neck post is actually connected to the body instead of separate, like the Sideshow bodies. So yeah, Dragon were the ones initially that started it all off.
So now you're using a new base.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I'm using, like I said, TDGL version 3.
And I'm seeing that, are you still painting with Vallejo? Is that how to pronounce it?
Yeah, Vallejo paints, yeah. I used to use Tamiya, but over the years I found Tamiya paints just got watered down too much, and the prices just went through the roof. Where Vallejo, they come in little bottles with a little, you can squeeze the paint out as much as you want. So I've had paints here for the last 2 years, and they're still good paints, so they don't dry up or anything like that.
Good stuff, folks.
Yeah, I've been hearing about those Vallejos for a long time, and I've been wanting to try those, but I haven't seen them in my hobby stores, but if I ever see it, I definitely want to try it out. For right now, I'm probably going to stick with Model Masters, but yeah, and I understand you can take that and put it in a airbrush and everything too, right?
Yeah, correct. Vallejo is fantastic because they've actually got model colours, which I use a lot, which is for the military stuff. And I like the, as you all know, I like pretty filler figures, so they're brilliant for that. And I've used them for spray paint as well. You just might have to dilute it a little bit, but not too much.
Very cool. All right. Well, I got the next question, and I'm really interested in this question. And there's a couple of different questions in here, but I was looking on your Hemble Creations at all your Star Wars stuff the other day, and I noticed you had a couple of really cool custom troopers. One of them was the Recon Trooper that you did, and I really liked that guy. And to me, he looked like an evolution on an ARC Trooper, which, if you've been paying any attention to my customs, those are definitely my favorite. And so, can you tell us, is that an evolution on an ARC Trooper, or would you consider it something along that line?
Honestly, no. Just whacked that together. I just saw it, and a lot of people draw their customs before they make them. Where I just look at something and go, okay, what can I do with that? And then I go from there. And what the end version is what you see.
All right. Well, that completely popped my balloon right there. But the next thing that I had, it was kind of like along the same lines of this, because I'm a big fan of troopers, is what do you think about stormtroopers or original trilogy troopers, like maybe even Sean's favorite AT-AT driver or any of those original trilogy troopers? What do you feel about them being clones? Do you think that that's something that gels with your idea about the original trilogy? Or do you think that any non-Republic trooper, meaning stormtroopers or any of those original trilogy characters, do you think they should be non-clones? What do you think about that?
That's a good question, mate. Because actually, originally when the Clone Wars come out and they started bringing out the troopers with the clone heads, I thought, what the hell are they doing? This is just a cheap way of getting away without doing normal heads. But honestly, if you think about it, the clones were done, 20 years before New Hope. So realistically, yeah, there could be older guys in trooper armor, but a lot of them would be dying off too.
Mm-hmm. Right, because of the advanced aging.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you know, and I was thinking about the clones as stormtroopers too, and just thinking that, you know, you would think that with the Emperor wanting to have a ready army of troops, that it would make sense that he would continue cloning. They wouldn't necessarily have to be Fett clones, but they could be, you know, other kinds of clones. But I always wonder about that, because there's a lot of people that think that no stormtroopers should be clones because the clones have all died out by then, and I just don't necessarily think so, you know?
No, I agree. Like, unless they put a marker on them where they die after, say, 30 years, but if the Emperor used them, I'd say he was going to have a point where he was going to keep them going for a long time after the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. All right, Sean, your turn, bud.
All right, we all knew it was going to go here sooner or later. I have got to hear about the AT-AT driver that you created. That was just, it just blew my doors. I mean, and if you haven't seen it, folks, you're going to have to go to the front page of his website. But basically what he did, was he created a part of a wall panel of a walker, like the door area, and he created a door gunner. I guess my first question, Ron, is this inspired from the Imperial military personnel stories, those fan-made videos that we saw there that just blew my mind?
Yeah, mate, he's from him for sure. I was the same as you and probably everyone else. I was astounded by the detail these guys put into a fan movie. Then when I saw the gunners, I thought, brilliant idea. Because I like to have different concepts, as you all know, with my figures. So having an ADAC gunner, I just thought was a brilliant idea. So that's where it started from.
Well, I'll have you know that your 12-inch actually inspired me to really make my first custom, where I kind of and a driver, and like I said, my wife thought I was completely crazy when she came down to my hobby cave and saw me actually drilling on one of my beloved AT-AT drivers. She said, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm making Ron Strooper."
Excuse me, mate. My wife thinks I'm nuts as well, mate, so don't worry about it.
Well, in my wife's defense, she knew that before we got married, so I don't feel too bad for her now. But how did you create that side panel of the walker itself? What did you use for that?
Okay, the base itself is a picture frame from a $2 shop.
That's a picture frame?
That's a picture frame. So, my wife hates me. I go to a shop and I'll see something there, which you'll see as a picture frame. I'll go, "Oh, I can use that for this." And she absolutely hates me for it. So when she goes shopping, she goes by herself now. So, but yeah, the main base is a picture frame. The actually framework for the wall is balsa wood and I think it was foam core, if I can remember correctly. Yeah, it was foam core. I don't know what these call it over there. That's where the piece of thin foam with the cardboard on either side. That was for the wall. Then what I did, I got cardboard from some cereal boxes, cut it up to the sizes I wanted, and then glued it onto the base of the wall so it has the paneling. Excuse me. And then the ladder work is actually cut up coat hangers. Again, my wife hates me for this because I use coat hangers for everything. And then I bent them into shape and then drilled holes and glued them in. And the small port, exhaust ports on top from razor covers.
Wow. I know one thing. If you start talking about Windex, I'm going to think we're talking to Sprywalker. I mean, you guys just grab stuff and make neat stuff out of just regular everyday items. That's neat.
I think you got it now. Sorry, I think you've got to nowadays to find anything you can use for a custom because you just can't go out and buy stuff, so you've got to look around and see what you can find.
That's awesome. Okay, we have to talk about the head sculpt of the driver, that helmet. How did that come together?
That was actually funny because when I did the free quarter one, I don't know if you guys know Sideshow Freaks forums at all, but I'm a member of over there, and there's a guy called Snow. And that guy, what he can do with figures is incredible. I got nagged by him for ages to do a 12-inch one, and I just said, "Look, we're on post at the moment because I'm in the army. We're on post. There's not many shops around that you can get a lot of figures from." So I said, "Look, don't have this and this and this." And he was actually kind enough to send me a couple of helmets. The one you see on the figure itself is a Hasbro ADAC driver, and it just went from there. So yeah, I've picked up a Snowtrooper off eBay and an ATST driver, and just combined everything together from there.
Wow. Well, I know one thing. I saw that, and of course, it comes as no surprise to everybody who even remotely knows me that that's my favorite character, and I'm gonna have to relieve you of that. I'm definitely gonna have to have that.
We'll have to have a talk,
right? Yeah, well, you just plan on it. Put that on your calendar. The gun itself, where did that come from? The one that's on the side of the door.
Oh, okay. The gun itself is a MG34, German MG34. I couldn't find an MG42 at the time, so I used that. The scope itself is actually 1/35 scale 88mm shell cartridge holder. So where the shells used to get held in the containers.
Mm-hmm.
And the arm itself is part of a battle droid and some plastic cards with some just wiring. So you can move it about.
Well, I know it looks awesome in his hands and some of those poses. Of course, if you scroll into a site and have Star Wars figures, you can see he has various thumbnails you can click on. Some of the poses that he has in that dialogue, like that one where he's climbing the ladder, that's just tough, Ron. All right, Chad, I'll shut up about his AT-AT driver custom because we've got to talk more. I mean, Star Wars is just but a small smattering of all the varied things he's making. We've got to let him talk about Raiders of the Lost Ark, Chad.
All right, well, Well, since we're going to switch over to that, let's see here. Well, I have a question. Luke Sprywalker, as always, is on with us, and he's chatting with us. And he has a question about your photography, but he has another question here about one of his... He says, where is Indy descending into... He's talking about one of your Indy dioramas with a custom Indy and Sala. And he says, where is Indy descending the map room and Sala is holding the rope? And so he's talking about that. But he also wants to know about your photography. So, Ron, I'll let you pick which one you want to answer. He says, for your photography, he says, all of your pics look like they have the same lighting exposure, color levels, and saturation on. And how do you achieve this look with all of your shots over the years?
Okay, with the photos, I actually started taking photos inside a garage, and then with the lighting. And I just didn't think it showed the figures good enough, so my dad said to me, how about taking them outside and doing outside under a pergola or a tent or something. So I started doing that. I started getting outside different stages of the day and found that 11 o'clock, 7:30 in the morning was the best time to take photos because the sun was up in you know, nearly 12 o'clock. So the sun was in a good position. So I started my photos, I take outside. And the only thing I do to them is shrink the photos. And that's it. I don't add any color to them or anything like that.
All right. Well, very good. And you know, there's a lot of people on Imperial Shipyards that are trying to figure out how to improve their photography and everything. So that would be something really great if you talked about that a little bit more. But on you know, like we could probably put some, you know, comments or some tips on Imperial Shipyard somewhere. I'm sure Sean wouldn't mind that too. But we wanted to talk about your Raiders of the Lost Ark customs. And so Sean has a question here saying that you are on a mission to complete 20 characters. Is that correct?
Yeah, 20 characters from each series, each movie.
Oh, okay. So 20 characters over movies.
Yeah, so at the moment, as you all know, I want to do 20 characters from Raiders. And once I do that, I'll go from Temple of Doom, Crusade, then Crystal Skull.
Ah, okay. That was his next question. He said, can we assume this is the main cast of characters from all three movies? So that answers that question. And he says, which one of your Raiders of the Lost Ark custom figures and dioramas would you say is your favorite? And can you describe the recipe and build process on this?
Oh, my favorite. Oh, God. Got me there now, guys. That's a good one. I'd have to say it'd be the Mayan pit trap, the one where he's fighting the snake in the water. That people thought I was just nuts cutting up a sideshow in the and cutting them in half, but that's just me. I just do anything nutty. That took a lot of creativity because I've never done water pouring out of anywhere before. So that was really hard. The water itself just plaster, and then I just painted it up the colours I wanted, and then added what they call river stick water from Woodland Scenics to give it that glossy look. The walls again, the bottom is just an old picture frame, and the walls again are possible in foam core, and the stones are actually thin pieces of foam I cut out to the desired look, and then chipped away big pieces. Just painted it up with Vallejo paints and Games Workshop paints.
So the water is made from plaster?
Yeah, all the water's actually plaster.
Oh, that's very interesting.
So the base is about an inch deep. So what I did is got the figure, pinned the figure down into the base, and then poured plaster into it, and then... the water on the base is plaster. The water coming out of the two holes is actually clay, then covered over in plaster.
Oh.
to get that pouring out effect.
Oh, all right.
Cool stuff, man.
Yeah, I've been thinking about lately trying to do some dial work myself, so I'm wondering about how to do all that stuff, and I don't think I would start off with water, because that actually looks like it's one of the harder things to do with dioramas.
Yeah, water is the hardest, in my personal experience, it's the hardest thing to do. It does take some time. I did another Indiana Jones spring three-quarter one where he just jumped off the boat in Crusade and it's sinking. That was my very first water diorama, so that wasn't too bad. To get the waves and the wave effect, I just used a bottom of a teaspoon and just pushed it into the water, and so it gave it that wavy look.
Oh. I've seen people do dioramas with like a clear resin or an epoxy so that it actually looks clear. Have you ever done that before?
I did that way before the internet came up, and there used to be, I don't know if they still make it, it used to come in little small crystals, and you used to have to warm it up or boil it and then pour it in. The problem with that is that you've got to let it set for a little bit, or once you pour it, it starts to melt the plastic or makes the paint run off the plastic figure or whatever. So I got to the point where I was leaving it either too long and it came tacky, or I was pouring it in too quick and I'd ruin a diorama. So I left that alone. Then years later, they brought this realistic water out. But I've seen some guys do some incredible work with resin where you can actually see the figure underneath the water or whatever like that. So it's just incredible.
Yeah, and you know, I've seen some really cool dioramas too where they like even take like a, I seen one where there was like an alligator in the water and they cut the alligator in half and put it in that. But anyhow, we'll move back on to your Raiders of the Lost Ark customs. And Sean, I believe it's your turn to ask a question.
Yeah, I would like to hear about two things. And they're all together. It's this Mayan temple that you created, Ron. You have a great tutorial on your site about how you built that just great project. And the first question is, can you describe the build process on that a little bit? And then I'll get my second question.
Okay, the Mayan temples, they were actually just foam, just normal plain foam. Then I used very thin corkboard and built up the design of the temple. Then I just got some plaster of Paris and watered it down a little bit, and then covered it all over with that, and then painted it up. And then the trees, all the small trees and all you see, they're actually, again, from Woodland Scenics. I just, because you get them in, you can get the trees in tubs and they come in all different colours, and you can just pull them out. You can have, if you pull one out, it can be really big, then you've got small ones. So I just pulled everything apart and just started putting it onto the base itself.
And the second part to that question is, you are hinting about some type of stop motion project that you are working on. I think that's on hold for now, but can you give Custom Action Figure News any particular scoops on that project?
Damn you. I love stop motion. I think a lot of people do, especially the older guys, when they look Empire Strikes Back, Star Wars, that sort of stuff.
Guilty.
So I just thought, combine the two, Indiana Jones and stop motion. The project is still on the go. I was doing it with a mate of mine that was up here with me in the army, but he got posted out, so that stopped for a little while. I'm going to start it up again myself, but at this time I just don't have the room, so I've got a double car garage, which is usually half of it's mine, but the wife's taken up with all her stuff, so I've got to get her to clear all that out.
You have to get her on that, Ron.
Oh, I told her, don't touch the man cave. You never touch a man's man cave.
Amen.
Oh, man. My wife hates that term, man cave. I just say it's my studio, because it's where I do all my creative work. All right, well, I guess it's, is it my turn to ask a question, Sean?
I think so.
All right, well, the next question that he has here is like a paragraph, so bear with me for a minute, Ron, while I read through it here. But he says one of the greatest he thinks one of the greatest things that you do is share all of your recipes for your builds, as well as describe the processes that you have used to create all of your great figures. What would you say is probably the most requested information people have asked you in regards to your customs and how they were built? That's one question.
Oh. Okay. Well, the two main ones I do get asked is face painting. How do I keep the face without having streaks through it? And that's just simple. And this goes down disgusting to a lot of people. When I paint my figures, I actually use when you clean your brushes, the water in the jar, I actually use that, because the paint that's already in the jar, I don't use fresh paint straight away. I just use that all the time, because what it is the paint in the jar dilutes the paint more. If that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
Because when you, I'll try and explain it. So when you're painting, people brush their brushes off in the water and they paint again. So what I do, I just get a bit of that water out of that dirty jar or whatever you use, and get an eyedropper and put a little bit on a lid or a container, because the paint in the jar already has got all the material off the paints, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's got the...
It makes the paint smooth and glide more.
Yeah,
it's just hard to explain without actually seeing it.
No, I know what you're talking about. How sort of the pigment all settles at the bottom of the jar, and you actually go in and grab all that out of there, and like the sediment on the bottom. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, So yeah, that's correct. The pigment. Yeah, I think I couldn't. I get a bit of that, put it on the onto the, like a plastic lid or anything, and then when I get my paint, I just a little bit into that, so it's watered down, then I go from there. And for some reason, it works brilliantly. People don't like doing it that way, but I find it looks excellent.
And let me be clear here. So the bottom of your jar, the sediment on the bottom, the pigment from the jar, and you put that in like a little tray or a little lid or something, and then you actually get new paint and mix it in with that? Is that what you're saying you do?
Yep, correct. Spot on.
And that's how you actually mix your flesh tones for your figures.
Yeah, because, I mix my flesh tones. That's the only thing I mix with the pigments on the bottom of the jar is my flesh tones, because it's already diluted. There's already water in the paint, so you just get the brush, dip it into your flesh tone, mix it in with a bit of the pigment and the watered-down pigment, and just go for it.
Oh, very cool. And do you mix flesh tone colors?
No, I actually use, for my base coat, I actually use Vallejo, I actually use Reaper Miniature Paints, and it's called Tanned Highlights, for the actual undercoat. And then, once that's done, I get, I don't know what they call it, but it's Joe Sanger's Artist Colors. It's actually a company, and it's burnt sienna. Oh. And I give it a wash over with that, then dab the excess burnt sienna off, and the burnt sienna will sink into the paint itself of the flesh, and then you just dab it off with a tissue paper.
Oh, wow.
The excess paint.
Very cool, because I know that you will agree that painting flesh tone colors or trying to mix them or get the right color is one of the toughest things to do when you're painting.
Oh, yeah. When I first started painting my flesh tones, they look like zombies.
Yeah,
I know somebody's making zombies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they're very good, too.
Oh, thank you. I still got a few more under. I just thought of two new ones today that I'm going to do. But we'll stick to Ron's customs here. All right, and then so that was only one question out of there, Ron. So he says, how important do you think it is for customizers to share this type of information, meaning information about recipes for building, or like we just talked about, you know, how you pitch tones, or last week or 2 weeks ago we had Ellie talking about how he mixes his colors with Windex, which I tried and it works really awesome. Or any, how do you feel about customizers sharing that information. Do you think that that's important?
Yeah, I do. When I first started out, especially Torben stuff, there wasn't a lot of people that would give out their information. So you had to do it yourself. So you had to dip into that, dabble into that, and then find out what you got. But me personally, I like to give out information because it doesn't bother me. If someone can do a better job at painting than me, so be it. You know, no one's going to be perfect at everything. So for me to help someone starting up, I reckon it's great that they actually say, hey, yep, Hemble or, you know, Lucas Clowns or Spywalker showed me how to do this. I think it's a brilliant idea. I love it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I'm always willing to tell anybody my tricks and help them out. When you see, you can always see the people that are new customizers on there, and you can see that they got a lot of potential. And I just always want to help. I just want to say, hey, you're doing really good. Here's something you can do to make it even better. I definitely with you. So these questions are all going along the same lines. The last one he has here is that he says he's always surprised how forthcoming customizers are with the secrets of their success. Have you found that most customizers are this way in your history of building customs, or have you what would you say is more, you've seen more people are very forthcoming with their tricks and tips, or would you say you found more people that don't want to reveal their secrets and kind of keep them all to themselves?
Well, like I said, when I first started out, yeah, there wasn't a lot of people that would give out their secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And it really annoyed me, especially doing my 12-inch figures. Nowadays, I think everyone just goes, yeah, this is what I do. This is how I do it. Anything else, give me a yell. And I think that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So, all right, Sean, you're next.
All right, that's good stuff, Ron. I mean, that's one of the reasons for Imperial Shipyards, and actually for Custom Action Figure News, kind of have the same goal of sharing and spreading those secrets and seeing all that good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, I mean, so far we have just barely surfaced of Ron Hembling. He has Star Trek, Blade Runner, Terminator, Warhammer, Anime Mechs. I mean, I was just blown away by a Marvel Thor he made. Ron, I'm going to make you do something hard. Outside of Star Wars and Raiders of the Lost Ark, I'll let you have those two. Outside of those two, what would you say is your favorite movie line or sci-fi line or fantasy line to customize?
Oh, okay. You
want
it? You're not getting it now. Oh, I'd have to say, you've got me stumped on that one, mate.
So you do a lot of great Star Trek stuff, too.
Oh, so the Star Trek stuff I only started getting into because, you can start getting the stuff, especially the Spock and Kirk I finally did the other week. I love my Star Trek, of course, but really, realistically, I love my sci-fi, so I'd have to say my Terminator stuff and my SS3D, those little mecha suits that I painted up a couple of months ago. I'd have to say then, anything sci-fi and anything like that, I just love doing because it's fantastic because you can just, there's no set rule. We're military models, I'm a military model from years and years back. You make a model of, say, a King Tiger, it's got to be a specific way and that sort of thing. There's no ifs or buts. But with sci-fi and fantasy, especially sci-fi, you can do what you want. And that's what I love about it. There's no set rule that, oh, hang on, that's got to be that way. Oh, it's got to be that way. It's just, oh, hang on, I'm going to put these parts together. That looks good. That's the way I'm going to have it. So, yeah, I have to say sci-fi besides Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I was thinking probably along those lines before we run. I mean, speaking of your customs day, I was blown away with where, I mean, he has like half of the human flesh on it that slowly melts its way into the robot form, and I was just blown away by that transition. That.
Oh, okay, is that the three-quarter one, or is that the six-inch one?
Hey, that was a six-inch one, but I am going
The six-inch one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like both, but the six-inch one was great to do, because I just got a six-inch body cut in half, cut one of the Terminator six-inch figures from Playmates, and glued them all together. And it's actually funny, the actually fleshy bits is actually, part of what I did was put it all over. It's not sculpted, so it doesn't dry, expands and shrinks in the heat. And that's what I love about it. Because I got introduced to that by a mate up here that his wife actually does a lot of sculpts of Yoda, like 1-1 scale sculpts of Yoda and all. And she gave me this whole bunch of Modeler's Putty clay stuff to use. I just put it on, and like she said, you don't have to use anything to harden it, because it'll harden once you put paint on it, but it won't harden it much where it'll crack or anything. It just expands with heat and cold. It's brilliant stuff.
I know that custom looks brilliant. Yeah, it's definitely that 6-inch, the T-800 Infiltrator. So that place where the flesh meets robots, that's that modeling putty you were talking about?
Yeah, it's like a modeling putty modeling. I think they call it modeling clay. Like I said, they use that to do a sculpt, and then they put that in a cast and cast it. And then when they finish, they can just push it all back together and make something else out of it. So it's always, you can always use the same clay all over and over again. Good stuff.
I think the one thing that maybe sets your customs off so great too, Ron, is the fact that you usually surround them with just these great mini dioramas that go with them, like this particular T-800 one. It's like you've got a half-buried barrel, and you've got, like, you know, a contact bar sticking out of it. I mean, that's just great. Chad, I thought of one I got to ask before I forget.
Okay.
That indoor walker that you created, would you mind telling the rest of us, especially us customizer newbies, much like myself, how did you do that effect on the legs where you enclosed the men?
Oh, that's just done by cereal boxes and plastic cup. Just nice and simple stuff.
So all I have to do is get some Lucky Charms, I guess,
huh? I was actually surprised. I used plastic card originally. And I thought, nah, it's going to be too dear to just, like, for two sheets of plastic card over here, it's like $15, $10, $15. I thought, there's got to be an easier way of doing it. So the daughter had all these cereal boxes she just taken to school. And I pinched one of them and then cut it all up and sized it up for the leg and did it that way. Then all the extra add-on bits was, bin plastic card or 1/35 scale bits and pieces I used from the big box.
That simple.
Hard at the time because you got to say, okay, how am I going to do this? What am I going to use? But once it's all together, I'm just annoyed that I didn't take photos of it when I had, like, the tutorial, when I was building it. I was just annoyed with it, because people can't see, like, there's some idle wheels from a 1/35 scale tank I've used, so you can't really notice that unless you really look.
Oh. Well, I guess I'll just have to send you one of my older walkers, and you can recreate that.
Yeah, any time for you, mate.
I think that one thing that made that thing stand out in my mind so much is the little mini walker, but the diorama that you made that surrounded it, which was, I guess, kind of like an indoor scene. And am I correct in thinking that part of that diorama you just went and got, like, aquarium plants and used?
Yeah, just plastic aquarium plants. As you know, a lot of aquarium plants are bright green.
Mm-hmm.
All I did was get a get a brush, dip in some diluted paint, and just brush it all over it. It doesn't take a lot to do. And then just let it dry. Once it dries, it looks so realistic, it's not funny. The groundwork is just dirt I got from the backyard. So just, I sift it. So yeah, it's just nice and simple stuff. My old man always used to say to me, if you're going to make a diorama, try and make it out of things that are around the house or outside. So, and that's what I do.
I'm sensing a lot of your dad in your work, Ron. That's great.
Oh, yeah, he's a good modeler. He was fantastic.
Cool deal. What did he make, Ron?
He made a lot of Napoleonic figures. There's still a company called Historettes, but when my dad was building them, they had the plastic figure, but to make the actual metal shield or helmet, the company actually provided that metal, but you had to cut it out and bend it and everything. So he started from there, then he starts scratch building all his own ships and everything like that. So back in those days, yeah, even when I started building models and you didn't have the stuff you had nowadays, so you had to make everything yourself. So if you wanted the building, you had to cut the building out of something, detail it all up, and then to do it that way. Whereas now, you can just go to a shop or online now and buy whatever you want now. It's incredible.
Yeah, thank goodness, because for people like me, I wouldn't be able to have such great stuff unless for people like you and some of those same stores you're talking about. All right, Chad, I'm starting to hog again. I'm sorry, it's your turn.
Oh, no problem. Well, the question that you had on here, because I think we've gotten to pretty much all of them, I'm very curious to ask myself. And your question that you have is about your website and your business, Ron. And so Sean says that he'd like to hear you talk a bit about your website and your business. And I think that it's important too, because I customized for a while. Maybe you start off doing it, for yourself. You're making up, customs for yourself. But eventually, as you say, you end up with all of these figures around you, and you got to do something with them. So you might end up selling. So he says, you could talk about your website. You could talk about what they will see on your website, a little bit about Hemble's hobbies, meaning what folks can ask you to do as far as your business and so forth and so on. So would you like to talk about that for a few minutes?
Yeah, I actually started up the website, it had to be over 10 years now, and it just started off just me putting bits and pieces of my work on the website, and then had to be about 6, maybe 7 years ago, a mate of mine said, why don't you actually start doing I wouldn't say it's a professional website, but why don't you start putting everything on the website? So I started doing that, and what you see now is way I've progressed. So I just thought, I'll do it that way. Then the tutorial side of it come in, where I had a lot of people email me and say, look, I want to know how you did this or that. And then I thought to myself, well, hang on, why don't I just start making tutorials, put them on my website, someone wants to ask a question, I can just say, hey, just go to this section, and there's your answer. So that's how I started with all that. Hemble's Hobbies. Oh. And again, I was getting a lot of people email me saying, oh, look, can you build this, or can I buy that figure off you that you just made? And I just clicked and went, hey, hello, this is going to be a nice little, I wouldn't say profit, but yeah, it's a nice little extra money on the side. So that's how Hemble's Hobby started. So I do get a lot of people saying, can you build this and build that? If I can't build something, or I can't, like I said, I can't sculpt, I can sculpt an ear or a nose. So that's as far as my skills go. But like Sipfire, I wish I could sculpt like him, but if I can't, or do something that I can't, so I always refer them to someone else if I can. If not, I'll go, yep, look, this is what I can do, this is what I can't do, and then we'll go from there.
And you are willing to work on anything from miniature clear up to 12-inch figure, is that correct, Ron?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, I'll do anything from 15 millimeter war game figures up to 12 inch figures and dioramas. Yeah, I've got no issue with that. That's not a problem.
And pretty much any, like, I know we've only scratched the surface, but can you talk a little bit about all of the different lines that you've actually customized and have experience in?
Yeah, I actually start, like, as you know, I did the Indiana Jones figures and the Star Trek, Star Wars and Star Trek figures, but I actually got into the Marvel and DC side of things with the customizing on Iron Cow forums. That's where I actually started doing all that. So I got all the 6-inch scale Marvel figures and started building like Tarzan. I don't know if you've seen the Tarzan figure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That, the Phantom figure. So yeah, I just started dabbling in that, and then I had a few people say, "Oh, can you build this and can you build that? How about adding this to this?" And as Chad said, the 4-figure. So you know, that was just put together. I try and, when I do a custom, and the thing with customizing is, yeah, you can go to a point where you can get screen accuracy, but me, I like to add my own feel to a figure, where a lot of customizing do nowadays. But yeah, just started from there. Well, hang on, I don't like this helmet. What have I got in the way of bits box? Can I add to this figure to make it unique and make it your own?
Well, I know one thing. You, of course, you know, you'll know the type of guy Ron is already if you know anything about, you know, Ron Hemley. But I contacted Ron. Oh, it was a few months ago. My little girl is, and I'm gonna get off Star Wars for a bit, but I'm doing. My daughter is absolutely in love with the Phantom of the Opera musical, and for the life of me, they make a Barbie set of this, but the price on it was just, I mean, you're talking $400 or $500 for a Barbie figure, and of course it was just clear crazy. So I was trying to come up with an option on how to get the Phantom made, and I didn't have to think too long, and Ron popped into my head, and I said, "Ron, what do you think about..." I almost was embarrassed to ask him. I said, "What do you think about a Phantom of the Opera mask?" He was like, "What?" "Well, send me some pictures." And long story short, my little girl's birthday, May 15th, and he definitely made really the only gift that we got her that she's actually still playing with, and she doesn't go anywhere without that figure, Ron, and she makes sure she has that mask in hand. And I wanted to personally thank you for doing that, not just for me, but, you know, for my family. Let's just say, you know, Ron Hemling, that name is definitely held in high regard in the Tamer household.
honestly, it was my pleasure. It really was. And just when you showed me the photo of my little face lit up, like, I've got a daughter, 6-year-old daughter and 2-year-old boy, so I know exactly what it's like, and I was stoked. It was great.
She was quite excited when she heard I was going to be, you know, talking with you tonight, and it was all I could do because I apologize, folks, but if I had my 5-year-old daughter here, there would not have been an interview, but maybe one of these years we can hear. But definitely wanted to thank Ron. As you can see, if anything along those lines, I mean, you know, Phantom of the Opera, I don't even know what kind of line you call that, but he's willing to give it a shot. Oh, and Chad's telling me we're out of time, huh?
I'm sorry. I feel like them, the police come to break up the party for a bunch of high school kids.
Yeah, Chad always gets me.
Yeah.
I could be done.
Well, we'll just have to have you on again.
Oh, I'll be more than happy to come back on, guys, honestly.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about those anime mechs and things like that, because I have a couple of friends that are into that and stuff, so maybe we could do that for the next time, but yeah. Yeah, we're at our time, folks. So, anyhow, Sean, did you have any final thoughts to wrap up on?
Well, once again, you really need to go to Ron's website, www.himblecreations.com, and he's got a link on there for Himble's Hobbies, too. so you can just see the wide range of not only different sizes of customs from miniatures all the way up to 12-inch, but all the different lines too. You know, from DC to Marvel, and there's a lot of great military stuff in there too that we didn't even get to talk about. We barely scratched the surface of Ron Hembling. And Ron, I want to thank you for giving us. I think Ron actually had to schedule for some time off so he could even do this interview. So I wanted to thank you for doing that, Ron.
That's all right. My pleasure. Gets me out of work.
Yeah. There you go. Well, I think that's going to do it, folks. So thank you very much for listening. And Ron, again, from me, thank you for coming on.
Thanks, Chad. I had a ball.
Oh, me as well. Me as well. All right, and so that's gonna do it. Episode 9 is in the can, as we say, or on the hard drive, as we say. And just things to let you guys that are still listening or that are gonna be listening know about. How can you find our show? Well, you can go to imperialshipyards.net, the main page there. There's a little button. You can click on it, and you can find all of our shows, and hopefully, if everything works out, I'll have this one posted up tonight. And if that's not good enough for you, you can go to the store, and you can click on the podcast section, and you can find Action Figure News, and subscribe for free there. So definitely do that. And our Facebook page, we have a Facebook page for Custom Action Figure News, and Sean, I hate to say this, but we didn't make our goal.
Oh man!
So I'm just gonna set a new one. How about that? Let's have 100 likes. Try to get 100 likes for the end of June. I think we could definitely get 100 likes by the end of June. So all you customizers out there, or just people who are enjoying the show, definitely direct your friends. Tell your friends. That might be into Star Wars or whatever, because we don't just always talk about customs. We talk about figures, too, to go and like our Facebook page. Heck, tell people to like it if you even don't like it. But anyhow, yeah, so you can find our Facebook page, and I always post the link for the Ustream show just before we were about to go live, if you want to watch it straight off of Facebook there. Let's see. You can contact myself at chad.cafnpodcast.com. You can also just go to the Facebook page and send me a message there. And how can we find good old Tamer?
Hey, Tamer at imperialshipyards.net.
There you go. And if you want to ask Ron some more questions, maybe you had a question you didn't get to here, or maybe you missed it or whatever, how could they contact you, Ron?
Yeah, they can contact me at hemble@optusnet.com.au. There's actually a link on the website, www.hemblecreation.com. They can go through there and contact me through that.
All right. Yes, very cool.
Or shipyards.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, you're on the shipyards there, so you can always, if you're a forum member on there, message him. So, yeah, go to www.hemblecreations.com and find the link for his email address. And I think that is it, folks. All right. So thank you very much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. And we will see you next time. May the Force be with you.
You have just listened to Custom Action Figure News, a podcast by Lucas Clones and Tamer. Previous casts can be found by hitting the Custom Action Figure News button on the main page of ImperialShipyards.net or by visiting LucasClone.customs.blogspot.com. Let us know what you think or send in your burning question via email to chad.cafnpodcast@yahoo.com or tamer@ImperialShipyards.net. You could hear your email on the next cast. Custom Action Figure News is neither affiliated with, sponsored, nor endorsed by Lucasfilm or Star Wars, which are trademarks of their respective companies. Stay tuned for the next cast of Custom Action Figure News, dedicated to spreading the good news of customizing to the fans, by the fans, and for the fans.
too easy.